Wonderful. Sorry to interrupt the chatter, but we'll be back with the opportunity to do that in not too long ahead. So we'll make it just going to lower the music. Wonderful. So I don't know how many churches you've been seriously part of. I have been, this is my third church, I think, that I would say that I've been a member of. Well, say, it's true. I mean, that's the third church I've been a member of. Over being a Christian for, I think, about 45 years, 46, 20. So it's the third church that I've been involved in. I love it here. It's great to be here. And each church is different. And I think God loves variety, doesn't he? I think God loves variety. And one of the things of being part of Encounter Church is the variety. And I'm going to mention this morning some of the things that we've into as a church, the things that are important to us, that we have been involved in, that we are involved in. Try not to cover too much ground, can't cover everything. But I just love the fact that we're a church of all ages. It's great to see the different age groups. A lot of children, young people go out. It's great that people come to this church of all stages of faith. Some of you have been Christians a lot longer than me. I'm not saying that because you look old. I'm just saying you have been Christians a lot longer than me. And it's great to have different nationalities, isn't it? And we were discussing recently as to how many nationalities that we have within the church at the moment. So we'll kind of maybe look at that. We had a picture. There's a picture of a group that are up there of different nationalities. There we go. Some of you recognising yourself think, oh, dear me. No, you look great. You look great. I think there's at least four nationalities there out of five. There might be six. I'm not sure. No, it's four. I'm sure there's four nationalities there, which is great. And I do enjoy hearing the stories about how God brought you here. What prompted you to come to Birmingham, maybe, and sometimes how you chose this church. Some of you, I know that it's because it's the closest and you can get out of bed later, and some of you it starts at 11 o'clock rather than 10:30 and that sort of thing. But I love to hear people's story because God has brought us from all over the place, hasn't he? To be part of a church community, and he does that. I remember the first time that I ever went to church at the age of 16, mentioned it many times. It was really an awe-inspiring occasion. Going to a football match where there's 30-odd thousand people's fine, but walking into a church for the first time, when there's maybe 100, 200 people, he's not used to it. It's a challenging thing. And I know when my friends stopped going after a while, and even though I was a committed Christian, I remember how difficult it was to walk in on my own, even at that stage. So it's a big thing. And it's a privilege, isn't it? That we come in together every week on a Sunday morning. When I first went to church, little did I know what God had in store. Little did I know. But one verse really just helped to sum it up. And I mentioned it many times. 1 Corinthians 2 verse 9 says, as it is written, no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no mind has conceived, the things that God has prepared for those who love him. I am so thankful for what God prepared for me. It's amazing. Not always easy. Ups and downs. I couldn't have imagined what God had prepared for me. Now, at Encounter Church, we have a vision statement. We talk about wanting to encounter Jesus, to make disciples and release missionaries. And there's a lot that comes under each of those three different headings. I kind of shorten it to, for me, makes it simpler. I just think of know, grow, and sow. I want to know God better, and I want to help people to know God. And evangelist's heart, I want that for people to know God. God, I want to grow. We want to help people grow. We want to grow in every aspect that God has got for us. And we want to sow, don't we? We want to make a difference that the kingdom of God would advance. Now, Jesus had his manifesto, and it comes out in Luke chapter 4, and he quotes from Isaiah chapter 61. Now, some of you, when I read this, will think that myself and Wendy spoke this morning. We don't speak on a Sunday morning. No, we do, but I'm so much in a rush trying to get my PowerPoint together that the things that she says, I know this sounds really sexist, the only conversation we have, she says, which shirt do you want to wear? And if in doubt, she goes to a blue checkered one. So on those mornings, you realise we've not talked at all, because that's the one that we always go back to. But Jesus' manifesto comes up in Isaiah chapter 61, verse 1 to 3, and Wendy touched on it amazingly this morning. So we're going to read three verses. In the manifesto, he has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, to comfort all who mourn, provide for those who mourn, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. It's a wonderful thought, isn't it? That as a church community, as families, as individuals, that we can be a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. And the word that Wendy, the vision she gave, didn't she, was about a jewel in a crown. And a crown is made up of jewels. And we are planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. And I want to encourage you, because it is now that we get to know and to grow and to sow. It is now. It is our time. It is our time. It says of David, wasn't it? It says about the King David in Acts. It says, David served the purposes of God in his generation. So if it's not this generation, which generation are we going to serve the purposes of God? It's now. Now is our time. Now is our moment for such a time as this. A few weeks ago, Mark Pugh, our leader of Elim, our denomination, General Superintendent, came and shared with us after the service. We had lunch with him, the church leaders of Encounter, and he talked about some of the things that he was praying into and dreaming of. And one of the things he says that he's dreaming that as a denomination that we will plant in the UK 1,000 new churches over these next few years. Now, at the moment, we have 500. So that is multiplication, but he was thinking multiplication is the thing to go for. Do you know what? God is into multiplication. I mean, when he says that the planting of the Lord, they'll be called oaks of righteousness. Well, oak trees, they drop all these acorns, don't they? And I remember just after coming from my interview here at Encounter Church, and I got the job, by the way, if you're asking, I got the job. But I remember after the interview, we walked in this park and there was just all these acorns on the ground. And they just seemed a little bit small and maybe insignificant. But God says this is what the kingdom of God is like, isn't it? It's like the smallest seed that grows into the, you know, and that, I think, you know, when he says an oak of righteousness, God has his mind on, we'll feel like acorns. But actually, we can multiply, can't we, what we have and what God has given us. Now, a few years ago, at the time that I arrived here, we were serving a church in Weedy Castle. It was called Encounter Church as well. They joined up with us. And it was just wonderful to be able to sow into that particular church. They've been struggling for a number of years. Things happen in churches. Things can go wrong, can lose your way for whatever reason. And it was just great, people from here going over to support that congregation. We didn't plant that church. That church was already planted. It's probably as old as this one. But just great to know what God can do, the life that God can resurrect. And Ephesians 3, verse 20, doesn't it? Great verse. It says, now to him who's able to do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine, according to his power at work within us, And I like this next bit. To him be glory in the church and through Jesus Christ through all generations. So God wants to do it through his church. He wants to build his church. He wants to multiply his church. Now here in Encounter Church, there's a lot of things that go on, but it's pretty obvious, I think, if you've been here for a little while, that we like to invest particularly in works amongst children, amongst young people, teenagers, amongst students. And I've always had a heart for working amongst teenagers. Not very good with children. Don't worry, I'm safe with your children, but it's not kind of my thing. When my son, when he was about seven, came in, I don't know where he'd been in, he says, "Dad, I want to become a Christian." And I wasn't too sure what to do with that little boy. Now, if he was 14 or 15, I knew exactly what to do. But he did become a Christian, which is fantastic. But he kind of threw me. They were not all specialists in different things. But as a church, we're very passionate about children and young people having the opportunity. You know, they can't imagine what God has got in store for them, which is amazing. And a verse that I mentioned before has really been on my heart for years and years and years. And he's talking about Joshua. After he kind of passed away, he was a great leader. And Judges 2 verse 10 is a really sad verse. He says, "After that whole generation with Joshua had gathered to their ancestors, another generation grew up who knew neither the Lord nor what he had done for Israel." And we as a church are committed that people grow up knowing the Lord and have an opportunity to find out how great he is. It's not just about church, but Jesus says, "I've come that you might have life and have all his fullness." One of the reasons I became a Christian is because Christians were a lot of fun. Great purpose, very dynamic, and that is what God is like. So we really do have a passion for investing in the work about children and young people. All ages are important. We also recognize that Birmingham is such a strong student area. I don't know if you noticed that. If you noticed that a lot of students have cars now. Don't know if you've noticed that. I've noticed that. And it's great to see even more student accommodation going up around here as well, on the old Sainsbury's car park. And I think that it's something that God will give us a role in reaching people of that age over this next few years, and something that we're praying to. Not only that, and I just want to remind us, because it's good to remind ourselves what God says to us at different times. Back in October 16th, 2016, 10 years ago now nearly, Chris Cartwright, our previous National Director of Edom, came and on that morning service shared a word of prophecy for Encounter Church. So I'm not going to read it all, but I'm going to mention one or two bits from it. So he was at the front, and at the time he's speaking, he was sensed that God would speak. He sensed God speaking in a particular way. He says, "What I was seeing there was something of the capacity of the people in this church. It's like when you go to a room and there's a dimmer switch, the light comes on, but there's the ability to turn up the illumination. It's like there's a light, there's a clarity, but it's going to increase so that you begin to see yourselves and one another in greater clarity. You'll begin to discover giftedness and become a place where it's not a frightening light. It's not exposing faults. It's demonstrating and revealing the goodness of God amongst you. The light is getting brighter. God is starting to turn it up and to focus so that you're seeing that in one another." And then goes on to say, "In the years to come, any church that's near a university has a big opportunity to influence people in a key season of their lives. Take that seriously. The Lord is increasing that clarity so that this is a place where people will discover their gifting and their purpose. Some will stay and be part of the journey of this church and this community, but some will go to the ends of the earth and they'll go with greater clarity and confidence of who they are. Be encouraged because the Lord is doing something in the church that is starting to shine that more brightly on the people of God that he's calling together for a new day." It's great, isn't it, that God has a purpose, has a dream for us as individuals, for us as a church. So we talk about our financial giving, and part of what we do, we invest in our work amongst children, amongst youth, and amongst students. These are the areas that we invest the money that you graciously give. And one of the pastors that close to here, one of Elim churches, and he has a particular saying that I thought is really good. And he says this. He says about his church. He says, "We're not looking to be the best church in the city. We're looking to be the best church for the city. We want to make a difference. It's not about us being big. It's not about us looking good. It's about the difference that we make within our city." And some of the things that we've invested in beyond amongst kids, youth, students, we support Agape in their work as well. We've supported Christians Against Poverty. We supported Acorns Hospice in Selly Oak, which was the first children's hospice in the UK. So it's wonderful to be able to do that. We get involved in Samaritan Purse and all kinds of different things. It's wonderful to have the facilities here that we invest in as well for events. So not this Friday, but the Friday before, a lot of student organisations had their prayer event here. We put on things like language courses. I think you might have a picture coming up about the language courses. There we go. And the people in it. There you go. We made them look very English there. Can you see? So that's wonderful. We also have a nursery that we've mentioned many times. It's fantastic to have a nursery that's been here for about 32 years now. And we have 70-odd children that come here 2, 3, 4, 5 days a week, and they're here all day. They're here for a long time, sometimes 7:30 till in the morning to 6 o'clock at night, called Foundations. And it's just a privilege that over the years, well over 2,000 young people, children, have been through our nursery. And so we want to be a blessing for our city. As we mentioned before, one of our students left and we heard went to Harvard University. There was a gap. There was a gap, but I thought that's really good. These other universities, aren't they? But I thought that was really fun. Now, mission goes beyond our building as well. Of course it does. And we support Jordan and Natasha in Japan. Japan, one of the most under-evangelized nations in the whole world. And so it's great to support what they're doing. And it's great to support Nepal, United Vision for Nepal. And I just love the fact that they're looking to plant, or the vision is to plant a church in every village in Nepal. And they've had some good inroads. Do you know, Christianity only really, churches only started in Nepal in the 1950s. It took that long for churches to start to get established. So there's not many. So to have that kind of vision, and this organization that we support under Elim, they're training leaders all the time. New churches are starting up, which is absolutely fantastic. As a church, obviously, we've supported Cambodia as well on similar lines, and they support people who've suffered from people trafficking. So it's just wonderful to be able to support those kind of things. Some of you remember, just a point, Abhijit, who came to our church from India. Sorry if you didn't get to know him, but he was here for a few years, became a Christian here. You probably saw him sitting on the sound desk most Sundays. Well, he's gone over to Nepal now in order to serve over there. So I think that's a wonderful thing, isn't it? So missional giving is very good. It's good to be organized in our giving, good to be generous, consistent, good stewards in our giving. And there's a lot that we can invest in God's kingdom. Now, when it comes to trying to help people to grow, there's a number of things that we do. Put on Alpha. Last year, we had something called Four Portraits of Jesus. So it was a teaching day looking at the Gospels, why they're kind of slightly different, how he gives a single picture of who Jesus is. We did something on the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We did 100 hours of prayer. So there's a lot of things that we encourage you to engage with, a lot of opportunities. But I'm going to kind of conclude by mentioning two areas that I think that are important, that helps us to grow, helps us to sow, helps us to know God better. And the first one is this, is how we learn to connect with one another makes a difference as to whether we do know God better, whether we do grow, whether we do sow as well. So it's great to be part of a relatively large church. It's a wonderful thing to do. I love that we have corporate worship together. I do find it, you know, it's better than doing it with just me and one or two others. I do like the fact that it's a lot. I do like the fact that it's a large band. I think the band are a blessing to us, aren't they? Those who serve us on a Sunday morning in worship and in other ways. It's not just about musical instruments, but it's wonderful, and to see people get baptized and have a larger picture. But in Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17, it says this: iron sharpens iron, so a friend sharpens a friend. And that's a great quote, isn't it? And I think people use that phrase in the world, iron sharpens iron, don't realize it comes from Proverbs. But our engagement with each other helps us to grow. Rick Warren, in his Better Together series, stresses how our connection has to go beyond a Sunday morning if we really do want to know God, to grow, and to sow. He says, you can't fellowship and get to know a crowd. Jesus himself demonstrated that true fellowship takes place within a small group of approximately maybe 12 people who are choosing to follow him. And I would recommend for all of us, whatever season of life we're in, and there are different seasons when we can do different things and can't do different things, but I think we know we grow, we sow when we're amongst people who want to follow him. That is such a key thing. It's such a key thing. And this is a strong encouragement. And Teresa F. Latina says this: people gather in small groups to experience or enhance their connection to God, their connection to others, a meaningful connection to the world we live in, and often their connection to their true self. Connection is so important with a small group of people who also want to follow the Lord. There's three stages in church history over the 2,000 or so church histories where people gathering in small groups was a significant factor. And we see that in the early church. For the first 300 years of the early church, it was thriving. It was thriving. And people would meet from house to house. They'd really connect with each other. And after the 300 years, what changed under Constantine in Rome is that everything just was big. Everything was just about gathering together, all together. And the advancement of the kingdom of God really did wane when people just met in large groups. Then for hundreds of years, it was similar to that. People just met in large groups. Then around the time of the Reformation and John Wesley, he headed up the Methodist Church, founded the Methodist Church. I used to go to a Methodist church. John Wesley is wonderful. When John Wesley was around and they did things really missionally, about a quarter of the UK were committed Christians. Now that's a nice thought, isn't it? A quarter of the UK was committed Christians. And they had these connect groups, these small groups, where people were discipled, where people shared fellowship, where people grew. And they called them classes, so it's probably not the best name, but that's what they did. And the kingdom of God advanced really strongly for 300 or 400 years. Now, don't get me wrong. It's not as if just meeting on a Sunday and meeting in a small group means that everything just automatically grows. But it's a framework in order to be intentional about what we want to be about. That's what it's about. It's a place where we can, we can encourage each other to go. We can learn together. We can pray together. We can support each other. We can make sure we kind of encourage each other to share our faith in all those things. So you have to be intentional. I mean, Sunday mornings don't mean anything if we're not intentional. If our worship is not all about Jesus, then we've lost it in any way. But they were intentional for about 300 years. And for the third period in church history, since 1960, the starting over in Korea when churches started to meet in small groups as well as on a Sunday morning, something started to happen. People have found a place where they can be intentional and effective, and the small group movement took off. And if the Jesus comes back in 1,000 years, the church will look back to this period of history that something was happening. God was working because Christians were getting together outside of Sundays to be incredibly intentional about their faith and what they are about. One of the things I love about small groups, I've been in many different small groups. Occasionally, I've not been in a small group. I just love the fact that people can WhatsApp each other and with prayer requests and ask how you're doing. I just think it's really good. As Neil Hudson says this, he's an healing pastor, he says this, "We have not become Christians to escape the complexities of the world, nor has Jesus promised to turbo boost us through difficult moments of life." Have you noticed that? You probably noticed that. We still go through difficult moments. So I just think those connections as a small group, as a family, is really helpful and really effective. So I just encourage Christians at times to get out more and connect with the things that are going on that could be a real blessing to you. Just, I encourage you, don't just see your faith as coming here on a Sunday morning, but connecting with others and getting involved in the things that could help you fulfill the purposes that God has for you. We have events for men. We have events for women. Yeah, we have a lot of different things that you can engage in. So I encourage you to do that. So there's a lot more I could say, a lot more things that I was going to mention that you could get involved in, but you get the principle. We have the opportunity. So connection is a big factor in knowing, in growing, in sowing. And the second one I want to mention, because I sensed that it was two, serving God, finding a place to serve, really makes a difference for us as well in our knowing, our growing, and sowing. Ephesians 4 verse 16, you've heard me mention it many times, says, "From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work." It's a team effort, isn't it? It's a team effort. It really is a team effort. I mean, we just wouldn't be able to do what we do without people getting involved, volunteering, getting stuck in, finding a sense of that calling. And I just want to encourage you. And I was aware of this, even if not in detail when I first became a Christian. God has got something for you. God has got something for us. God has got a reason for us to be here. He's got a part for us to play. We grow and build ourselves up in love as each part does our work. He says, "If you remain in me," Jesus says, "you will bear much fruit." Find places to be fruitful, showing yourselves to be my disciples. And I encourage you to be amongst people who serve. I think it's a wonderful thing to be part of a team that serves. It's a lot of fun. It can always be challenging, but it's a lot of fun. And you do grow. So here in Encounter Church, over the last, in 2025, we've been looking as to our own serve teams, as we call them, the different teams that make a difference here. So there's some of them. They're not exhaustive, but some of the things that we are just blessed by having people who will serve Encounter Church in these different ways. And I'm just going to remind myself now. So if you go on our website, you could click on any one of those and it will give you, so there's things like teas and coffees, multimedia, kids team, worship team, prayer ministry, youth, students, connect groups, cleaning, maintenance, welcome team. I don't know if I missed anything out there, but there's one or two others that will go on there in due course as well. So having been part of a church over the years, I've been really thankful for particular teams at particular times. I have to say, when my children were young, I was so grateful to the kids team. So grateful to the kids team. Because it's not always easy for, you know, for your kids to get them there every Sunday. But the kids team was so good. The youth team was so good. And as parents, they were such a blessing for us, not as if not our responsibility to help them faith-wise, but they were such a blessing for us. And we just thank those who serve within our team, within the welcome team, communion team. We now have a prayer ministry team as well. I don't know if that's up there. So if you like to receive prayer on a Sunday morning after service, then we have a prayer team that will be ready to pray for you. It's just great to have people who want to serve us in this way. So if you clicked on one of those buttons, as it says there, you'll get information about what is this particular ministry, an outline of it, what would I be doing, how often would I serve, what is the expectation, what kind of training is provided, do I need to be a member of the church for that particular ministry, and then who to contact, and they will give you more information, and if you wanted to meet up with them, they can describe what that ministry means. We're in it together, aren't we? God has something for us as a church. God has for us something as individuals. And I just wanted to be curious, there's different seasons of life. I'm not expecting you to kind of click one of those buttons between now and next Sunday. By the end of February, maybe. No, I'm not thinking that at all. It's something to pray into, isn't it? Say, God, I believe that you've got something for me. And sometimes it's good to meet up with somebody and get something to pray with you. See, you know, what am I good at? These are the sort of things I'd like to be involved in. And you can dip your toes in a little bit. So I know there's a lot to just take in at this moment. I just didn't want it just to be a list of things that we are involved in, but something that we can take in. We are, over the next few weeks, putting on one or two evenings. One is called First Steps. So if you're new to Encounter Church and you'd like to come to find out a little bit more about our denomination, about Elim, about our values, then you're very welcome to do it. Meet some of the leaders, some of the ministry leaders, you're very welcome to do it. But then some of you have been within Encounter Church maybe for a little while, and we've got something also for you that is called Next Steps. So how to become planted, maybe, how to get involved a little bit more, a little bit more about what it means to become a member. Maybe you need to take that next step, or feel as if you want to take that next step to be really connected within the church and planted within the church, and we'll give you information about that. But our calling is to be planted in the Lord for the display of his splendor. It's important for us to understand where God has planted us, a particular season that we are in. It's wonderful, isn't it, when Jesus told the parable of the sower, he says, when the seed is planted in good soil, planted well, reaps a harvest of 30, 60, 100 times. Where and how we are planted is a choice that we make. It is our choice. It is our decision as to where and to the extent that we become planted. As I said at Maureen's memorial service, a phrase that I heard last year, it says, don't just count your days. Make your days count. Make them count. Be a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. And I pray God's blessing on you for however long you stay within Encounter Church. It's a great privilege for us, for you to hear. We pray that God blesses you richly. We pray that if you stay for a while, that you'll feel planted. And I pray that in a few years' time, whatever, you'll look back and say, God, I could not have imagined what you had in store for me. But thank you, God has got so much for us. Now, in the early church, we're going to take communion this morning. In the early church, I'm going to invite the band up, by the way, actually. So ask them to come and join me, because we're going to take communion together. And the wonderful passage in Acts chapter 2 that talks about the fellowship of the believers, the early church, which is just amazing. So if you've never kind of read and just gone over Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47, I encourage you to read those verses over and over again, because it just gives a flavor of what God was putting together and what church could mean, they did meet every day, so I'm not saying that we got to meet every day, but they just loved being around believers. But twice it says in the first few verses of the early church, it says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Then a little bit later on, it says that they broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. So we're invited as a church to share communion together, that we're one body, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. So we're going to share communion this morning. So I'm going to invite the band to lead us in a song as we prepare our hearts for that. So why don't we rise to our feet as the band lead us as we prepare for this. Thank you.